Summer Reads 2018. What's on your bedside table or lawn chair? Ah, the deliciously long days of a Maine summer. All that sunlight and a good hammock or lawn chair or beach towel. But what to read? There are so many options. Are you looking forward to something funny, historical, thrilling, scientific? I'm Jennifer Rooks. On today's Maine Calling, we turn to three of Maine's most illustrious and fun literary figures for their picks this summer. What is Richard Russo recommending? What is Kate Christensen cracking open? What books bode well for Josh Bodwell's list? Hey, it's Friday. Is there a book title you just can't wait to share? We're getting into the bibliophile beat on the show today, and we hope you'll join us with your suggestions, either via phone, email, Twitter, or Facebook. Maine Calling is next, but first this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Normally, I spend this part of the show explaining what we'll be talking about, but today is our summer read show, so I'm just going to introduce our guests so we can start talking books. With me in the studio, Kate Christensen. She is the author of 7 novels, including the soon-to-be-released The Last Cruise. She is also the author of 2 food-centric memoirs, Blue Pate Special and How to Cook a Moose, which won the 2016 Maine Literary Award for Memoir. Richard Russo is here. He's the author of 8 novels, including Empire Falls, which was awarded the Pulitzer Prize in 2002. His new book is The Destiny Thief, Essays on Writing, Writers, and Life. Josh Bodwell is executive director of the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance. He is also the editor of a 3-volume relaunch of the collected short stories and novellas of André Debussy. We always want to hear from you. Which book are you most looking forward to reading this summer? What are you dying to recommend to the rest of us? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Facebook page. In fact, I encourage everybody to post their recommendations on our Facebook page because we're not going to get to all the recommendations. We want to make sure they're out there. So I'll start with you, Rick Russo. What do you want to recommend? I understand somebody in this room has written something you want to recommend.
Well, yeah, that's right. Let's go to the this book, unfortunately, because you're all going to want to go out and buy it, you know, right after we're off the air, but it won't be available until July 10th. But one Kate Christensen has written that rare thing, a really, really smart literary thriller called The Last Cruise. I don't want to tell you too much about it, but by the time you get to the end, you begin to wonder if there isn't a lot of metaphor going on. This felt to me like the troubled ship of state going into really difficult waters, but I can't recommend it highly enough.
Oh, that's wonderful. Kate, when's it out?
July 10th. Thank you, Rick.
Pretty good recommendation. Yeah. Kate, what about you?
Well, I'm gonna also talk about a book by someone in this room. I'm reading Trajectory right now, which is Rick's book of short stories, and it's not a new book, but it came out, I think, a year ago, right, Rick?
That's
summer.
Yep.
I'm halfway through it, and so one of the things I'm looking forward to reading this summer is the second half of Trajectory. It's terrific. It's Rick's short stories, and it's classic Richard Russo in that it's all about character in a deep yet funny way. And there are all these glints of humor on the surface, but every time you laugh, you also have this moment of recognition about people, which I deeply appreciate.
My advice for reading a Rick Russo book is don't sort of be drinking something at the same time because it sneaks up on you. Just when you have that sip of seltzer water, you laugh out loud and it comes out your nose. Would you agree, Josh?
I would absolutely agree. Rick has ruined laptops.
So, Josh, what's your first recommendation of the hour?
I'm going to keep the love fest going a little bit. I really expect good things of this up-and-coming author, Richard Russo. I just finished Rick's. Someone made a joke recently. It was actually Lily King that, you know, while we were sitting here, Rick published a new book. And I just finished his book that's come out since Trajectory, which is The Destiny Thief, Rick's essays on writing, writers, and life. Fantastic. I've read 2 incredible books on writing this year, but to get Rick talking about the omniscient narrator, for instance. Fantastic. Rick's take on the Pickwick Papers. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. Funny, but super, super smart. And Rick, I should say, also wrote one of the introductions to the Andre Dubuque books that I've just edited. And it is worth the cover price of the book alone just to read that essay. It is an unbelievable.
So tell me about that.
Can we change the subject?
tell me about that. Actually, this is fun. I wish we were on TV. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Russo is blushing. Josh Blondell.
You just got a sunburn.
Josh, tell us about the Andre Dubuque book.
Yeah,
that you've been publishing.
So Andre Dubuque is the father of Andre Dubuque III, who is much more well known than his father now. But hated the fact that he had the same name when he first started publishing books, because his father was always a very revered writer's writer, which is sort of a double-edged compliment, right? Studied at the University of Iowa with Kurt Vonnegut and Richard Yates, you know, sort of in that heyday of American literature. Started publishing his first short stories in the 60s. But then from 1975 till he passed away in 1999, he only published short stories and novellas. And that sort of added to him becoming this sort of legendary writer's writer. So this project that I've been working on for David R. Godin, publisher in Boston, collects Andre's first six books into three volumes, each with a new introduction. Volume one is Anne Beattie, volume two is Rick, and volume three is Tobias Wolff, who was a dear friend of his. And volume three also gathers together all of his uncollected short stories from the 60s to the last story he finished in his life in 1999.
Well, Josh, it sounds like a really fun project to work on.
It's been amazing to get to work with Rick and everyone who's been doing the introductions. And Andre the Third has been pivotal and incredible. Yeah,
wow.
It's been a lifelong
wonderful
thing.
So I'm going to broaden the conversation a little bit and ask you all what you look for. Is a summer book, Rick Russo, for you different than a book you're going to choose the rest of the year?
No, not really. Not really. I treat myself to a couple of genre books in the summer. This year, I'm looking forward to Laura Lippman's new book, which has the great summer title. It's called Sunburn, actually. And I don't want to talk about it now because I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to that. I just finished a book by Barbara Ehrenreich, which I can't imagine could be a less summary book. It's called Natural Causes.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yes.
I've seen her interviewed on the NewsHour.
Yes, and it is terrific. It asks us questions we should all be asking, especially those of us who are edging upward. Well, we're all edging upward, but asks us to what extent, what kind of compromises are we willing to make in order to extend our lives without necessarily making them better? She asks us all to consider the possibility that at some point we're going to be old enough to die. And, I'm going to be 69 pretty soon. And that seems to me, I hope I don't die anytime soon. But you have to ask yourself, at what point would you feel cheated? And not me. And at this point, it's a difficult book. She's a very cantankerous woman, and she has this contrarian point of view. You will just, despite the subject matter, you will love her voice. You'll love her anecdotes. Terrific.
All right. What about you, Kate? Summer reads. What do you think about sitting on the beach on a towel and the book that you'll have with you differently than that book that's next to the fireplace?
The amount of time I spend on a towel on the beach is nil.
A
chair in the garden, maybe. I don't do a lot of reading outside, let's just say. So I think that summer books for me, like Rick, are pretty much the same as year-round books. But one thing I do in the summer is I try to read Moby Dick.
Oh, my gosh. That was not what I was expecting you to say.
I know, right? So last summer, I read 150 pages of it, and somehow, inexplicably, I got distracted. There's something about that book that is a great white whale of a book, and I don't know. I'm not alone in this. So many people I know have said, I've always meant to read Moby Dick, and I never do. And the people who have read Moby Dick are a little smug about it.
Yeah.
And a little, and I feel like they feel sorry for me because I've missed out on an amazing experience. And so I'm declaring in public on the air with witnesses that this is the summer I'm going to finish Moby Dick. The thing that I love about Moby Dick and that surprised me is that it's funny.
Yeah. Are you going to start on page 151 or are you going to start over again?
I feel like I have to start over again.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like when you're trying to run a marathon and you don't finish it 1 year, the next time you try to run the marathon, you don't get to start at the place where you
<Why not? laughs> So mine is Don Quixote. And I've actually gotten to the point where I've been in a bookstore and I've picked it up and I've looked at it and thought, oh, that's long. So, Kate, when you finish Moby Dick, I'll pledge to go to a bookstore and pick up Don Quixote.
I'm going
to
call you with I'm going to text you a picture of me at the last page of Moby Dick, smiling smugly.
And Josh, what about you? What's your summer sort of vibe for reading?
I've got a couple things I'm excited about. I loved Celeste Ng's debut, Everything I Never Told You. And her new book, Little Fires Everywhere, is out. So that's already sitting next to my bed. Right under that is The Burning Girl by Claire Massoud and The Fact of a Body by Alexandria Marzano-Lesnovich. I got that all out.
Oh, very good. Okay. And just so our audience knows, all three of these guests have given us book names in advance. And we're going to put those on our webpage and our Facebook page. So if you happen to be driving, do not try to write these names at the same time, especially with some last names like that. It'll all be there. And we're looking forward to hearing what your recommendations are as well. In fact, I think I'll go to Taylor, who's calling from Southwest Harbor. Hi, Taylor. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi there. I wanted to call and say thanks so much. And I'm calling from Island Readers and Writers. We are a nonprofit based in Southwest Harbor. And just today, we came out with our summer book list. We do a summer and a fall, and on it there are almost 40 titles from pre-K to high school, and there's a couple on there that stand out. Jabari Jumps is a picture book that's just really sweet, summery story about a little boy who's decided he wants to jump off the diving board for the first time. It's a very sweet book. We have middle grade novels, chapter books, young adult. One of my recent favorites that I reviewed for the book list was Turtles All the Way Down, John Green's most recent. It was a great read, and that's made it to our book list this year. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys to anybody to pick up our book list on our website, islandreadersandwriters.org. And then personally, for adults, I just recently pre-ordered Florida by Lauren Groff. It's her latest book of short stories that I believe comes out next week. And I read one of the short stories was in The New Yorker. I think that one was titled Florida. And it really just grabbed me. And I'm looking forward to reading that this summer.
Well, Taylor, as you said that, everybody in the studio is nodding. Anyone read it yet? Or you just
You have? Yes, I have read Florida. And it is, like everything else Lauren Groff writes, wonderful.
Oh, good. Okay, that goes on the list. Taylor, thank you so much for calling in. Okay, so I've got your guys' recommendations in front of me here. Kate, on top of Moby Dick, you have Kudos.
Oh, by Rachel Cusk. There are some contemporary books that I'm also excited about reading, and that's one of them. That's the third in her Outline trilogy, which I've read everything she's ever written, and she's one of my favorite living writers. And I've kind of followed her evolution as a writer, from really kind of snarky, brilliant young writer to now a sort of, I think she's really doing something new with the novel that I can't quite articulate, and I may not be able to until I've read Kudos, but it's all sort of stories being told to her protagonist who feels like a version of her. And the way that people interact with each other is sort of her subject, but it feels like it's also about power and pain in a really interesting way. But I find her books deeply entertaining also. And another book on my list is one that Rick has read, My Ex-Life by Stephen McCauley, which looks really funny and also really good.
That was recommended on Fresh Air the other night. I think Maureen Corrigan did a recommendation.
Always trust Maureen. That's my motto.
Especially yeah, when she agrees with you.
No, well, yeah, she has had one or two nice things to say about me over the years, and I am deeply appreciative. But I think she's a really good critic, and she's spot on with this book. It's a book that kind of undermines your expectations. The main character is a gay man who gets to know his daughter, from whom when he divorced his wife, he's been years. They live on opposite coasts. And he reconnects because his daughter wants him to help her write her college entrance essay. And when he returns, he discovers I don't want to tell you too much, but it's a wonderful exploration of what love really is, and it's also very, very funny.
Okay, and you also, Rick, have on your list here House of Broken Angels by Luis Alberto Uria.
Yeah. Luis is actually coming to town, so if you're interested in this book, have a look, because he's going to be here in about 2 weeks, I believe, and I think that's one of the ones that I might be in conversation with Luis about. House of Broken Angels is a big, raucous, rambunctious novel. Luis is most famous for a book of nonfiction, which was shortlisted for the Pulitzer a number of years ago, called The Devil's Highway, about smuggling immigrants across the border into the United States, and it's a breathtaking and heartbreaking experience to read. This is a book about a big, rambunctious family who live on both sides of the Mexican-American border and travel back and forth freely. The two main characters are both named Angel. and it's about this family. It's struggling for its own place in the world in two worlds.
Oh. Okay. And Josh, one more before we go to break. You have the best so far in 2018, another main author.
Yeah, Anything is Possible by Elizabeth Strout. Just my favorite book of fiction of the year I've read so far. I read it late. It did come out in 2017, but I didn't get it. I sort of saved it for the winter, actually, because I knew I wanted to savor it. And then, of course, I read it too quickly. But for anyone that read My Name is Lucy Barton, her short novel before that, this is a book of short stories that connects Lucy Barton and the people of her town. And I couldn't help but think of like Winesburg, Ohio when I was reading it. Mm-hmm. But there's also the touches of Olive Kittredge that I loved in it. Liz is just moving from strength to strength right now. It's incredible.
All right. Well, we are lucky here in Maine, and we are lucky to have three Maine authors with us. What are your recommendations for summer reads? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire. Ooh, I'm
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the Lunder Foundation, founding partner of Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical, and Norris, helping businesses and schools stay safe through engineered security, life safety, and emergency communications systems. NorrisInc.com.
The South Pacific can be paradise, but not for children in the path of rising seas.
I think when the Marshall Islands will be gone, it's like the end of life to me, the end of the world. Imagining that is very horrifying.
Climate disruption and the fate of the most vulnerable. I'm Steve Kerwood, and that's next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Living on Earth is Sunday morning at 7 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. June is once again Music That Moves Me month. Throughout this month, you'll hear the stories of your neighbors from all over Maine about the music that has deeply inspired their lives. And thanks to the Maine Community Foundation and Lee Auto Malls, we are also conducting another instrument donation drive for aspiring young musicians. For more information, just go to mainpublic.org and click on events. There, you can also revisit any of the stories you hear on air, share your own story, or even learn how you can contribute next year.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, ideas about what to read this summer. Joining me, Richard Russo. His new book is The Destiny Thief, Essays on Writing, Writers, and Life. Josh Bodwell is Executive Director of the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance. And Kate Christensen's soon-to-be-released new novel is The Last Cruise. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Going into the last break, Roddy, our engineer, for some reason played Bruce Springsteen. Rick, I understand that you have another personality, another...
You are
former gig.
You are Bruce Springsteen somehow.
I always suspected.
Well, the last essay in my new collection of essays is called "The Boss in Bulgaria," and it is I recount in that essay a trip that I took with the Elizabeth Kostova Foundation. The writer Elizabeth Kostova has a foundation in Bulgaria, and she brings writers from the UK and the United States over there every year to talk with young Bulgarian writers who are, you know, trying to find their voices in a formerly communist country. And it's a wonderful, wonderful program that she does. And I went there a few years ago, and it's they knew because I'd filled out a form. They wanted to know who my cultural influences were, and so I named, you know, Dickens and Twain and Springsteen. and they surprised me. They surprised me when I was there on a television show playing some Springsteen. And the nice thing about the essay is that when I perform it, I get to sing a little Springsteen. So yeah, I'm not going to quit my day job over it.
Oh, and are you going to perform for us right here?
No, not right now.
Okay, well, on the line with us right now is Terry Lynn DeFino. She is the author of the new book, The Bar Harbor Retirement Home for Famous Writers and Their Muses. Terry Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How'd you get the idea for your book?
Did you see the movie Quartet, by any chance? It's starring Maggie Smith, Billy Connolly. It's a British film. It's a story about a retirement home for old musicians and opera people. And I saw that movie and thought, wow, how awesome would it be to be in a home, grow old in a home for all writing people? And that's kind of where it started.
All right. And have you spent time at Bar Harbor, that you chose Bar Harbor?
Yeah, Bar Harbor is one of my absolute favorite places in the world. We've been there, my family and I were there twice, and funny story, the kids thought Thunderhole up on Acadia National Park, they thought it was called Blowhole Joe, and that's what they've always called it since.
So, Terry Lynn, since you're on the show and this is our summer reads, what are one or two books you're either looking forward to reading this summer or that you've read recently and just can't wait to recommend?
Well, I'm really looking forward to All the Ever Afters, The Untold Story of Cinderella's Stepmother. It's by Danielle Teller. And then there's Wiley Cash. Anything that Wiley Cash writes, I will read. The Dark Road to Mercy and The Last Ballad. Trying to think what I just read. I'm a little nervous. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. I really appreciate you calling in, and that is Terry Lynn DeFino. She's the author of the soon-to-be-released novel, The Bar Harbor Retirement Home for Famous Writers and Their Muses. We have a tweet from Sonia. Tolles, A Gentleman in Moscow, is my pick for best book read in 2017-2018. Read it in one glorious weekend. Couldn't put it down. Okay, we've got nods.
Agreed.
I agree. I haven't read it. I'm putting it on my list right now. I'm actually writing it down.
Megan on Facebook, I'm a bookseller, and I'm most excited to recommend Lost Empress by Sergio de la Pava, a book about everything but told with depth and precision. It's also very funny. I also want to recommend Richard Powers' The Overstory, perfect if you're going to spend some time alone on vacation this summer. I am excited to read Ensemble, too, but have not yet cracked it open. All righty. We'll go to Tim, who's calling from Scarborough. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tim Fahey. I just want to say how excited I am to be even on the other line, far away from the revered authors on the show. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Go ahead.
This is just a shameless act of self-promotion. I wrote a book, my first, called The Fun Mover Chronicles, about a bike tour I took in 2014 across the United States of America.
Wow. Josh, you're a cyclist.
Yeah, I'm very jealous right now. It's on the bucket list.
It was 4,200 miles taken by a 53-year-old, a then 53-year-old. And the bike, it was a writing challenge because 72 days doing the same thing, getting up and pedaling and going to sleep was okay. A challenge. But the stars of the show were the people I met along the way.
So, Tim, tell us your last name. Your book is The Fun Mover Chronicles.
Yep, that's Tim Fahey, F-A-H-E-Y. And if you Google me on Amazon, you'll find it.
All right. Well, good luck.
My first go at the show. Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks. We'll go move on to Shane calling from Auburn. Hi, Shane. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a truck driver, and sometimes I got the radio on, and I found your show about a little over a year ago, maybe. And I had heard of a guy named Richard Russo. I'm a big reader, and I grabbed some Richard Russo, and I fell in love, and it was all uphill from there. I now have all of Richard's books, but through Amazon, but I haven't read quite all of them, but I'm working on it. But in the past, also, some of my all-time favorites, Stephen King is one of my all-time favorites. The Stand, of course, is my big one. Mario Puzo, Godfather. You got the Thornbirds and Roots are also classics, in my opinion, of awesome stuff to read.
Oh, well, Shane, thanks so much for your recommendation. We've already made Rick blush once on the show. This is a great, great Friday afternoon main calling.
I think we're going to turn it into a drinking game.
That's terrific. Thank you so much for sharing. Rick, you're in pretty good company there, you know?
Yeah.
Some classics. Tweet from the Maine Humanities Council. We'll be reading Maine authors C.B. Anderson, Susan Hand Shetterly, and Paul Dworin for our summer Read Me program with the Maine State Library. So many fantastic programs. And this library program, they want to get everybody around the state reading the same book and then having conversations about it. So those will be C.B. Anderson, Susan Hand Shetterly, and Paul Dworin. Thanks to the Maine Humanities Council for that. Joel on Facebook says, John Hodgman's Vacation Land. Anybody read that?
I have not read that, but he is one seriously, seriously funny man.
Okay. So that's a kind of recommendation, I guess. We'll go to Matthew from Monroe. Hi, Matthew. Go ahead.
Hi there. I would like to mention a book that actually I wrote. It came out last year. And it's been winning awards all this year. I'm very gratified. It won the Western Heritage Award and a Spur Award. It's called Stranded, A Story of Frontier Survival. And it's a crossover novel to a young adult audience and adults as well.
Wow. Matthew, what's your last name?
Matt, the last name is Mayo, M-A-Y-O.
Okay. Well, terrific. And we've written it down. Congratulations, Matthew, and good luck.
Great. Thanks. And I'd like to recommend a book, too.
Oh, yes, please.
A fellow Maine author. He lives in Appleton. His name is Andrew Veitz. He's an excellent writer, and he wrote a book called White Pine, American History and the Tree That Made a Nation. And it came out last fall, and it's fantastic. It's nonfiction, but it reads like a novel. It's
wow. Matthew, how do you spell Andrew Veitz's last name?
V-I-E-T-Z-E.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. Thank you. And again, good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Great. So we're going to go to Emily Connolly, who is the editorial assistant with Audiophile Magazine, which is based right here in Portland. Hi, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
I understand last night was a big night for those in the world of audiobooks. There were some awards and big winners?
Yes, last night was the Audio Awards, which is a big celebration of audiobooks honoring the best in the industry. And there were three big winners that would be fun to share. Lincoln and the Bardo won for audiobook of the year. That was George Saunders, and it was read by 166 narrators.
Oh, gosh, what a production.
Which is impressive. Yeah, and Bonnie Turpin won Best Female Narrator for The Hate U Give, and Trevor Noah won Best Male Narrator for Born a Crime.
All right. So is it true that listening to audiobooks and buying of audiobooks has really been on the rise in recent years?
Yes. Yeah. The Audio Publishers Association has found double-digit growth in audiobook units and dollars for the past 5 years. And there are more than 67 million Americans who have said they've listened to audiobooks each year. And it's the fastest growing format for books. And there are now over 40,000 audiobooks produced each year.
Wow. Hold on just a second. I want to ask Kate and Rick, have you guys read, do you have audiobooks of your novels and do you read them yourself or do you hire an actor? What do you do?
I have never read one of my audiobooks myself. Thank God. Because I'm not an actress. But the audiobook for The Astral, now I wish I could remember the name of the reader. It's read so well. And when I listen to it, there were things that made me laugh in the way he read it that I hadn't even intended to be funny. So it's a great pleasure sometimes to hear your work read out loud by an actor. How about you? Have you read yours?
I have done the audio for two of my books. The first one was for the memoir. And I really didn't want to do that, but it just seemed like the story I was telling that readers for that book would be well served by hearing it from my own voice. I had done one before that, and what made me think of it was just the person who was just on talking about audiobooks was that I remember when the review came out, the reviewer said that they thought that the book was okay, but the performer wasn't very good.
Oh, ouch!
So after that, I backed away until the memoir. But I've been fortunate to have some, and it's a performance. Kate, you're right. Yeah. I mean, there's a performance aspect to this, and the prose just do it so much better, I think, than certainly I have done on either of my books. And let them do it.
So I know Empire Falls was a movie. When it was an audiobook, was it multiple readers or one reader?
I've never listened to it. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so since we still have you on the line, sorry about that, Emily. I want to find out from you what you would share, two books that you've listened to recently that you think our listeners might enjoy.
Sure. Well, I can say that Bonnie Turpin, who won last night for Best Female Narrator, she also narrated something I listened to recently and really enjoyed. Called Children of Blood and Bone, written by Tomi Adeyemi. And if you like fantasy, it's a young adult fantasy, but it's very intense, and I'd really recommend it. And I'm currently listening to an older book, one of Tana French's Dublin Murder Squad series, and it's The Faithful Place by Tim Gerard Reynolds. And he's just so good with all the Irish accents. I love it. It's very engrossing.
And what about two books that you're looking forward to listening to?
Sure. One of them is Circe by Madeline Miller, and it's narrated by Perdita Weeks. And we've just been hearing really good things about it around the office. And but it's a retelling of the ancient Greek witch Circe's story, sort of expanding from what we know of her in the Odyssey. And another one that I'm going to be listening to soon is called Give Me Some Truth, written by Eric Gansworth. And he's a native author, and he's one of the narrators on that audiobook. But it's about two high school students, and it's another young adult audiobook that sounds really great.
Fantastic. We will add these all to our list. Thank you so much for joining us today. Emily Connolly, an editorial assistant with Audiophile Magazines. We'll have a link to audiobooks Emily mentioned, as well as a summer audiobook program that's free for kids called Sync, and the George Guidall talk on our website and Facebook book. We will be right back.
You make Mang Calling possible, as do the Dexter Group of Wells Fargo Advisors, investment advisory and asset management services since 1995, in Portland and at thedextergroup.us, and Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
Among African Americans in Massachusetts, opioid overdose deaths rose 26% last year.
There's an old saying, if it rains in the white community, there's a tsunami in the black community.
This week on Next from the New England News Collaborative, we'll dig into those numbers. And we'll go inside a David and Goliath food delivery battle in a booming foodie town.
We have advantages that they can't offer this community because we are so attached to it.
Please join us.
Next is coming up in about 20 minutes at 2 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Primary day is Tuesday, June 12th. A lot of candidates are running for the Democratic 2nd Congressional District seat and the Democratic and Republican nominations for governor. Maine Public has a resource to help you learn about all 14 candidates, Your Vote 2018. It's your primary voting guide, featuring the latest election news, candidate interviews, and their stances on the issues. You'll also find the on-air debate schedule for radio and television. It's all online at mainepublic.org/yourvote.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, our attempt to add to your summer reading list and to get you to support your local library or bookseller. Three of our favorite guests are here today. Josh Bodwell, the editor of a three-volume relaunch of the collected short stories and novellas of André Debus. Richard Russo, author of 8 novels, including Empire Falls, which was awarded the Pulitzer Prize in 2002. Kate Christensen is the author of 7 novels, including How to Cook a Moose, which won the 2016 Maine Literary Award for Memoir. Her new book is The Last Cruise. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Kelly calling from Freeport. Hi, Kelly. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you? I'm calling to say that every time I drive to Maine for the summer, I love to read the new thriller that usually comes out in June by Ben Coase. This year, I think it's called Trap the Devil. He's not from Maine originally, but he has a home here, and so the main character is from Castine, and he always sets a lot of his thriller in places like Bath. Ironworks played in one of the books, and Popham Beach, and so it's sort of fun to read this thriller genre and have it be some of the things be set in Maine, and they're just very, very enjoyable books.
Okay, so Ben Coase, how do you spell Coase?
C-O-E-S.
C-O-E-S. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Kelly, for the recommendation. We'll go to Peter, who's calling from Rockport. Hi, Peter, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to promote the Rockport Library book sale, which is coming up. We have, last year, I think, over 30,000 volumes in the sale. It's a wonderful way to recycle. It's a wonderful way to read a lot of different things and look at a lot of different things. And I think almost every subject you guys have talked about, audiobooks and many of the authors and so forth, are in this year's sale. The sale is from the 12th through the 15th of July. It's in what's called the MRC, with the Midcoast Recreation Center, which is actually a skating rink, but we don't make you put skates on. We take the ice out. And if you want more information about the sale, the library's number is 207-236-3642. And it's going to be a huge sale. We have everything from 18th through 21st century books in this year's sale.
Peter, thanks so much for your call. Rick, you ever been there?
I have not.
Put it on your calendar.
I think the problem was that for so many years I lived in Camden, about 2 doors from their library, and they have another huge sale too. So.
Oh, really? Peter, thanks so much for calling. Maine State Library tweeted that the audio of Empire Falls was performed by a single reader, Ron McLarty. So there you go. Now you know. We have an email from Steven, who is a vision rehab therapist. Just a reminder to readers around the state with vision loss that they may qualify for the National Library Service Talking Books program at no cost through the Maine State Library. Talking Books provide narrated books and magazines through the postal mail on digital cartridges and an easy-to-use player. I've been to the Maine State Library. I've seen where they put these together. They have volunteers come in and read the books. So if you have a book that you'd like to hear, They really try their hardest to work with you and make sure that you can listen to it. It's a really terrific program. And thank you, Stephen, for writing in with that. We'll go to Bodenham and Seth. Hi, Seth. Go ahead.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to tell you about a book called Voting Down the Rose. It's written by a Maine author, and the subtitle is Florence Brooks Whitehouse and Maine's Fight for Woman Suffrage. Voting Down the Rose is about Anne Gass's, the author's great-grandmother, and it's a great window into the suffrage movement here in Maine. And of course, we're coming up on the 100-year anniversary of women's suffrage, and it's a good time to look at that history. It's a great read, very, very well developed. And one of the great things, too, is the author, Anne Gass, is available to give talks at local schools, local historical societies and churches and so on.
All right, Seth, thanks so much for calling in with the recommendation, Voting Down the Rose by Anne Gass. We'll go to Jocko, who's calling from Abbott. Hi, Jocko, go ahead.
Hi. I happened to go last year to a poetry reading of where this guy named J.T. Curran, C-U-R-R-A-N, was reading some pieces of his poetry with his son playing piano, kind of jazz style, behind him. And I was impressed, so I bought the book and read the whole thing. And it's witty, it's funny, and deep at the same time. It's 50 years of poetry this guy's written, you know, things he selected. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it. It's a man who lives in the Sangerville area of Maine.
So. All right, J.T. Curran in Sangerville. Thanks so much, Jocko. And speaking of poets, we had some news, didn't we, yesterday, Josh, about Martin Espada?
Yeah, Martin Espada, who's been teaching at the Stone Coast MFA, just won the Ruth Lilly.
Well, congratulations there.
Six-figure check and the award is pretty
impressive.
Oh,
great. Especially for a poet.
Exactly.
So well-deserved.
Yeah. And Stone Coast, just, you know, they just keep attracting fantastic teachers.
A tweet from Marfine, The Believing Brain by Michael Shermer dives into the science behind how humans construct beliefs and conspiracy theories. Very important in the age of alternative facts. Katrina on Facebook, listening to your show with the topic being summer reads, I'm surprised I haven't heard someone mention David Sedaris' new book, Calypso. Once I finish Swan Thieves by Elizabeth Kostova, I'll be diving right into Calypso. So thank you, Katrina, for your recommendation.
And Elizabeth Kostova is the same person I was talking about earlier who does The Swan Thieves is a lovely, lovely novel. I will second that recommendation right away. And I didn't recommend David Sedaris because I just haven't read the book yet. But how can you go wrong?
If he does the audio, that would be worth listening to. David reading is amazing.
An email from Kat, a book I started a few months ago, the Camulod, not Camelot, Chronicles. The first one is The Sky Stone, author Jack White. They're listed under young adult books, but as a female adult, I love them. A new take on the old Camelot King Arthur story. So, you know, having children myself, I'm finding I like young adult books a lot.
I love them, and I don't even have kids.
We'll go to, I'm so glad you wrote in. Abdi Iftin on Facebook has written in, and Abdi's going to be on Maine Calling next month. Check out my new memoir, Call Me American, and Abdi will be on Maine Calling on June 18th as he starts a big national book tour for Call Me American. Josh, have you worked with him at all?
I have not yet. I think Gibson Faye LeBlanc from my board of directors, I think, has a bunch, yeah.
Terrific. Jesse on Facebook, When We Were the Kennedys, a memoir from Mexico, Maine by Monica Wood, is a wonderful read any time of the year, but I can especially see someone getting involved in this one during a visit to Maine or staycation. I couldn't recommend it more. I suspect all three of my panelists here will agree wholeheartedly.
We're all nodding.
Absolutely.
And really, if you haven't read When We Were the Kennedys, I've given it as gifts. It's just wonderful. Jimmy on Facebook, after hearing Rachel Slade last week, I'm reading Into the Raging Sea. It is a great read. I would recommend this is about the loss of the El Faro. Rachel spends some of her time on the Mid-Coast. Really, really, really well researched. He interviewed a lot of people, really explains the bigger picture, not just what happened that day. So it's I can second that as well. Andrea on Facebook, my book recommendation, Waking Lions by, and I'm going to massacre this, Yilya Gundergoshin. The book does what great literature can do, using powerful fiction and stunning prose to explore the migrant crisis affecting many parts of the world, including ours. We'll go to Bill, who's calling from Northwood, New Hampshire, if my clicker will work. There we go. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got through reading a book by Jen Blood on the K-9 series. That was an outstanding read. It kind of twisted and wasn't sure. It's like a murder mystery, and I wasn't sure till probably the last chapter for sure who it was. You know, it makes you, like, sit on the edge of your chair and not want to put the book down to figure out who it was.
Okay, Jen Blood's K-9 series. We've got some nods. You all know this?
I'm nodding because Jen Blood is on my radar as a writer I really want to read, and I haven't read her yet. So I'm going to add her to my list of writers to read this summer.
Yeah, Jen's fantastic. And she's, in addition to doing sort of finding that niche with the K-9 series, which is really interesting, she's also publishing her books independently very smartly. She's going to be with us tomorrow for the 2018 Maine Crime Wave that we're hosting all day Saturday over at the Glickman Library.
Okay,
she's
very briefly, tell me about that, and then we have to go. At the Glickman Library?
At the Glickman Library, we kick off tonight. We're actually giving the 2018 Crime Master Award to Douglas Preston in a presentation tonight, and then tomorrow, 8 to 5, all day. Keynote address by F. Lee Bailey.
How about
fun.
It?
Wow.
Well, thank you all for being here. I'm so sad we're out of time. The voice you just heard, Josh Bodwell, the editor of a new 3-volume collection of the works of André Debus. Kate Christensen was here. Her new novel, The Last Cruise. Richard Russo's new book is The Destiny Thief, essays on writing, writers, and life. And don't forget to vote in the PBS Great American Read Contest. You can find information about the contest on our website and Facebook page. Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and by Cindy Hahn. Just a quick note, we are planning to announce the winner of the Maine Calling theme contest soon. We promise. Stay tuned. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.